Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of October the 28th, 2024. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. On this episode, we'll have a rundown of what happened at this week's City Council meeting and an interview with Jack Avella about the city's digital strategy. We'll hear more about the city putting more services online in just a couple of minutes. But first, Council approved a single-source contract on Monday night, so commercial building permits can be applied for online. The approval awards a $420,000 contract to Granicus. It's a software company which has created a variety of other digital building permit platforms that are used by the city. The back-end software, which is sold by Granicus, has been used at the city since 1999. Administration recommends going with the single source because of their familiarity with other digital services that are offered by the city, as well as being the parent software provider for integrated systems. The company will also provide overall project management to implement the new system. Council got an update on Monday night on the city's digital strategy. The strategy is meant to create efficiencies within city operations, increase staff productivity, and get better data so the city can improve its services. As well, there is an expectation that more and more services are offered online. However, it's also recognized that not all service users want to use a digital platform, so in-person or paper services are still offered. The report presented to Council highlighted changes made to city services or internal processes since May of 2023 that include software changes and getting all city staff email access. Other changes include digital payments at city concessions, the ability to purchase a Marina Park seasonal parking pass, and online applications for the Housing Accelerator Fund, as well as reporting bylaw issues online. Changes also include upgrade to traffic light controllers and scheduling for staff software. Work is also underway on a new online water billing system and a new online tax billing system. There are also internal changes coming for asset and work management, as well as human resources. As well, there are also changes in how you can pay to take Thunder Bay Transit, as well as bookings for parks and fields throughout the city. The city is also doing more with its GIS data, which will require expansion in the future. This information allows the city to make decisions in real time, and it also includes sharing information with utility companies or for field staff to log issues from the field. Overall, administration says by going digital, the city says there are savings in personnel costs, increased revenue to city operations, and a higher citizen satisfaction rate, along with cost avoidance and more efficiency. Work on the digital strategy started in 2020. To help build more homes in Thunder Bay, housing grant applications are now available on the city's website. If you're a homeowner looking to add additional units like basement suites or backyard homes, or a developer looking to build multi-unit housing, then these grants are for you. Apply today at buildthunderbay.ca. There was a lively discussion at City Hall on Monday night, with Councillor Mark Bentz requesting a revote and recorded vote on a plan to build a temporary village in Thunder Bay. The village would have small modular buildings and would be created to move people from encampments to this specific location. It would have small cabins, along with washrooms, laundry, and shower facilities. The item was passed at Committee of the Whole last week, but was up for ratification at City Council this week. Last week, a request was made to refer the plan back to administration to find and confirm sources of funding for the village. That request was lost last week, and this week, the same request was made to refer the plan to administration. That again was lost. There were also two additional votes regarding encampments on Monday night. Since the referral was lost, the main motion was also brought onto the floor and was also a recorded vote. The two additional votes was for the 10-point action plan for the encampments, and then the vote on the village itself. The result was the same as it was last week, with both reports being approved. This means administration will come back with a site selection report and further information as they seek funding sources and additional information on the temporary village concept. The final vote was also for the temporary village, which will have a large price tag attached to be built at either the Cam River Heritage Park or on Miles Street. That vote was carried, and that means city administration will continue to work on the village concept, seeking funding and working toward the acquisition of the village components. There has been no final decision on the location for the village or the exact date as to when it would open. Council approved the audited financial statements for the 2023 calendar year. As part of its work, the Internal Audit Division identifies risks, makes recommendations for improvements, and includes a management response to reduce risk to the city. In 2023, the Internal Audit Division did a corporate-wide audit of payment card standards, an audit of corporate credit cards, an inventory audit, and an eye-on-the-street audit. Since 2012, the group has made 256 recommendations, with 87% of those recommendations in place or in progress. Getting into the details of the audit report, it shows that Thunder Bay has a negative financial position per capita. That means that the city's liabilities are higher than its financial assets by $193 per person. This has been the case for the past 5 years. However, the number has been on a constant decrease during that time. The net debt is mainly from debentures related to tax and rate-supported capital projects, along with capital projects for TBATEL. Now, the audit report also shows that Thunder Bay's infrastructure, overall, is moderately old. The report notes that with the asset management plan in place, the city will be able to manage and maintain its infrastructure. Overall, the city holds about 75% of its annual tax revenue in reserves, which shows a strong indicator of financial stability. As well, the city has just over $1,700 in reserves per capita, which is higher than the provincial average. Still with debt, the city's debt service ratio is 5.9%, about 1% higher than the provincial average. The city also has a high value of debt outstanding per capita at almost $1,900, more than 2.5 times the provincial average. This is because of high levels of long-term borrowing on behalf of TBATEL and high levels of rate-supported debt. The debt-to-reserve ratio also shows that the city has more debt than reserves. Thunder Bay also has a higher taxes receivable versus taxied levied percentage. It means that more property owners are not paying their taxes. This figure has steadily increased over the past 5 years to 5.6%. Now, overall, the city did increase its financial assets by nearly $23 million compared to the year before, with liabilities going down by 2.5%, and revenues were up by just over $20 million. Expenses, though, also went up by about $3.4 million during the same period. Council approved changes to the supply management bylaw on Monday by repealing the old set of rules and replacing it with new ones. The bylaw covers how the city buys goods and services as well as administering construction projects. The bylaw's intent is the same, but there are some major changes. One is how standard procurements over $500,000 no longer need council approval, as long as the project has a sufficient budget. There are some other changes, with supervisors being able to procure up to $15,000, a manager procuring up to $100,000, directors up to $500,000, general managers procuring up to $1 million, and amounts over $1 million would be approved by the city manager. This means that projects with sufficient budget don't need council approval outside of the budget process. Council did speak last night about communication and how council still needs to be aware of what purchasing and procurement is taking place. There is at least one public avenue where this information can be found. That's on the bids and tenders webpage, and council is also notified by email. Now, all of the amounts that I previously mentioned are for when a standard procurement takes place, such as it not being an emergency situation. Council would still be involved in procurement if the lowest acceptable bid or highest scoring proposal is not recommended and has a value of more than about $135,000. Council approval is also required for negotiated RFPs, such as the case for the indoor turf facility with a value of more than $5 million. Now, the values in the new bylaw are consistent with the Canada Free Trade Agreement, and the thresholds for procurement were also increased by council earlier this year. Some good news, Thunder Bay. A second leaf and yard waste collection is coming. It's on your regular recycling day between October the 29th and November the 8th. The leaves are falling now and almost all on the ground. Make sure to use craft paper bags for your leaves and bundle your brush with string or twine. There's no collection limit. If you have any questions, you can call City Dispatch at 807-625-2195 or visit thunderbay.ca/leafandyard. Council approved its list of acting mayors through to November 2025. The list is created annually, with each member of council being the designated acting mayor for a month. The acting mayor does not receive strong mayor powers during their assigned month. Council supported a request from the Community Economic Development Commission to apply for the Ontario Immigrant Nominee Program. Council has already supported the program, but on Monday, council supported the CEDC's application for this program. The CED was encouraged to apply. If successful, Thunder Bay could receive up to 200 nominations, which would help local employers attract and keep skilled workers. The program helps match people who want to live and work in Ontario with potential employers right across the province. And finally, Council approved a notice of motion at its meeting on Monday night. The notice of motion allows Council to reconsider an item that was ratified by City Council. In this case, it's the schedule for the 2025 capital budget. Now, next week, Council will get the proposed 2025 capital budget as a first report. In previous years, the capital budget isn't debated and ratified by Council until early in the new year. Under this year's timeline, the budget will be presented to Council on November the 4th and then ratified on November the 25th, months ahead of what previously took place. Administration says the move will give it a two-month head start on the 2025 capital project. This could allow for more favorable bids and scheduling from contractors for many, but not all, projects. The earlier date will also give a bit more attention to the capital budget instead of having it lumped in with the city's operating budget, which will be presented and debated early in the new year. Administration says it will also launch a public survey to run until November the 12th to get feedback on the proposed budget. And that's a wrap as to what happened at Council this week. For more information on anything that happens at Council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. Well, today, you expect to be able to do just about anything online. Maybe you do your banking, pay some bills, or even book a vacation. The City of Thunder Bay is working to put more of its services online, like applying for a building permit, paying your taxes or your water bill, or booking swimming lessons. Last night, City Council ran an update on the city's digital strategy and why it's important that we have one. Jack Avella is the Director of Corporate Information Technology with the city. Jack, thanks for coming into the Minute Studio today.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
Yeah, so this is probably the only technology like this at the city, I'm guessing, right?
I believe so, yeah. I don't think I've seen this anywhere else.
Yeah, or that you know of, at least.
At least that I know of, that's right, yeah.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly is the digital strategy?
Well, the digital strategy really is, you know, I should probably mention that it's a result of the program of service review that we did in 2019 and 2020. And essentially, it really came down to recommendations there that said we should try to make better use of technology, you know, to help with our service delivery and help us find efficiencies. And the digital strategy really is about enabling citizens to be able to do business with us the same way that they would bank or shop, and to try to meet those expectations that people have these days.
So why should people care that we even have this strategy? It's easy for us to just say, you know, we're going to stay where we are and not make any changes.
Yeah, well, it's important for us to continue to modernize our tools, not only for our citizens, but also for our internal staff. Like, people want to be able to use more modern tools to be able to interact, you know, digitally. And we have, I think, an obligation to meet those expectations. We also have our partners, right? When you talked about building permits and you know, what we learned in the development of the digital strategy is in many cases, those people were using digital and then having to convert back to paper to interact with us. So we're also, in a sense, providing that wider economic benefit to them as well.
Yeah, and I guess people don't think of maybe the partners, as you say, that we work with, because it's not like we just serve the public. We have a lot of other groups that we work with as well.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the Chamber of Commerce had expressed a number of different things that they would like to see digitized, that their partners and their members would bring to them. And of course, the building community is a big player in this as well.
So we've talked about building permits. What are some of the other projects that we've seen created because of the digital strategy?
Yeah, we're working on a number of different things. Actually, we've seen already, you know, the parking app that people use to pay for parking, campgrounds going online for bookings. We've seen a significant uptake in people booking city campgrounds, and we've also seen a significant amount of revenue generation from that. So people like the ability to be able to go and see what they're doing, see what they're going to pick for a camping spot and those type of things. We're working on water billing. I think that people want to be able to get their bills digitally, be able to check on, you know, on their account balances. And then in the future, if we get automated meters in place, they'd like to be able to also check their consumption. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of different things that people would like to be able to do online. It is a form of transparency. You get to check on the status of things and you get notifications back when things are done, like building permits or if you register for a program and those type of things.
You know, you've mentioned things that, you know, I just kind of thought we could always do online, right? Like looking at campground, for example, is the one that I thought of. You've been able to use Ontario Parks for a long time. So what are some of the challenges that the city faces in digitizing these things?
Yeah, so one of the challenges is that we still need to maintain an omni-channel approach. There are going to be people that do not want to use digital or cannot use digital for whatever reason. So we have to strive as we develop those new digital services to ensure that we don't leave those people behind. The other thing we need to ensure is security, right? We need to have secure transactions for payments and secure communication using those digital strategies. So that adds to complexity. Doing these projects is time consuming and it requires a number of resources to be utilized in order to execute on a project. So just, you know, it's difficult in terms of rate of change. So we have to prioritize and determine what, you know, is best suited for our efforts at any given time.
So what are some of the projects then that are in the hopper that you think are maybe the priorities or the strategy says are the priorities?
Yeah, like for sure. We've got our water billing with Customer Portal. We are just getting started with a tax billing with Customer Portal. We're working on a new childcare billing system, which will also have a customer portal to let people go in and do scheduling changes for childcare and to make payments. We are working on a bunch of park bookings to be able to book parks digitally. So traditionally, you've had to call in for these type of things. So we are working to digitize that. And one of the reasons we want to do that is to be able to provide that 24/7 extension of services and allow people really to do business with us and to take advantage of our services when it's most convenient for them.
I noticed one thing that the report said but didn't have a ton of detail on was essentially this is a way to create efficiencies and maybe cut some costs. How does that all work?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a project intake process that we use, and as part of that, we are asking areas to identify potential benefits, and some of those are savings. And so those savings can come as financial savings, so reduction in resources needed to carry out services. But in many cases, it'll also be cost avoidance or time savings. So the ability to really do more or different work with existing resources as well.
Electronic fare management, that's a big one from transit. Can you talk about that one for a moment?
Well, what I could tell you is that, Manager Loroff and his team over there are working hard to put this in place. We're working with them and their vendor on all the requirements for payments. And essentially what that'll do is give people a different form of payment. So you'll be able to have a smart card and you'll be able to reload that card and you'll be able to take advantage of that digital payment form to ride the bus.
You were at council last night. You were the first part of the meeting, so you're lucky you got out nice and early. Sure. What was the reaction around the council table last night?
I felt it was very positive. The people are supportive of the work that we're doing. I mean, certainly people are not entirely sure what the digital services may bring or what the functionality may be. But I believe that the council is supportive. There are questions around, you know, do we have the budget? Are we going to be able to sustain it long term? And how do we do that? And I think generally speaking, they see that we're moving in the right direction. I think that the fact that that people are using the services that we have put out there, and we're seeing in some cases 90% or more of uptake on our digital services. I think when we first set out and we were working with our consultant, they were indicating anything over 70% is pretty good. And we're seeing numbers pretty much across the board of 80% or more.
Wow. So people want to use services online.
Yeah, I really do believe that. And again, I mean, you know, people use online all the time. Like people bank, they shop, they communicate with their families, they socialize online, and it's only a natural fit that they'd want to use our services online as well.
What's one or two big things that you want to see done in the future?
Yeah, great question. I think that, what we'd like to do initially is try to get as many digital services as we can. And then I think beyond that, Jeff, we really need to look at how we pull that together and consolidate it. So, you know, to try to make that one-stop shop for online as well. So log in once, be able to pay your water bill or check your consumption, be able to pay your tax bill, perhaps register for a program without having to go to multiple portals and use multiple apps to do that. Of course, if the biggest problem we have right now is that we have a bunch of digital services that people have to interact with individually, we'll take that as a starting point. But certainly as we look at, you know, Digital Strategy 2.0, we're looking more at bringing that all in together.
Yeah. So my page of passwords to maybe get a little bit shorter, right?
Yeah, it would be good. I'm sure we all agree we have a lot of different passwords
we
need to maintain.
Jack, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Jack Avella, he is the Director of Corporate Information Technology with the city, and he joined me here in the Minute Studio. And a big thanks for listening to the Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or minutes, visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, visit thunderbay.ca/theminutes. You can also find the Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, plus you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. That's thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. We'll chat again next week. Make it a great day.